Pretty neat, huh? If you open up your Bibles, we've been in the book of John for the last few months. And we're in John chapter 6 today. And while you are turning there, I wanted to read for you Matthew chapter 7 real quick. If I can get there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man whose house is on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Anything that we are, anything that we do, anything that we build must be built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. The lives that we build must be built on His words. The families that we raise must be built on Jesus Christ. And I read that in relation to John chapter 6, because if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we began looking at Jesus' statement when he says, "I am the bread of life." And then last week, we expanded on that even more. Jesus, he tells the people that he is the bread of life. He has come down from heaven for them. And he says all these things, by the way, right after feeding them. Typically in church life, we talk, then we feed, right? So Jesus did it backwards. And he had to be the better speaker than anyone, because if you ever try to speak to somebody after they're full, they fall asleep. But anyway, Jesus speaks to them, says, "I am the bread of heaven who's come down for you." And then you know what happens? A lot of people leave. A lot of people ate their fill and left. They got what they wanted out of Jesus, and then they hightailed it out of there. A lot of people said, "This is great. Being around the miracles and seeing the fish and the bread just literally multiply is really cool. Watching the dead raise is awesome. Watching Jesus give somebody back their sight is cool. Watching that lame man that now can walk leap, that's awesome. Jesus is pretty cool. But there's something holding me back. I don't want to quite follow him. I don't want to quite dedicate my whole life to him because he says some weird things." Because after Jesus says that I'm the bread of heaven who comes down, he then says, you ready for this? "In order to be a part of me, in order to have life, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood." And I imagine Peter being like, "Oh, I wish you wouldn't say that," right? I'm sure there's times I'm up here saying stuff and Dave's like, "Oh, I wish he wouldn't say that." The disciples, they actually do chide him. They say, "Jesus, this is a hard saying. You're weirding the people out. There are a lot of seekers that are here and we need to be sensitive and friendly to them." And Jesus has none of it. He says, "I want you to know what it means to follow me. You're all in or you're all out." And so a lot of the disciples, a lot of the people that were following him after this time, after he fed them, after he preached to them, they go away. They leave. And then we get here in verse 66 of chapter 6. And it says this, "After many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him, so Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?'" That's an important question. That's actually a question that is worth considering. Because if you think about the disciples, they have literally left everything to follow Jesus. Literally dropped their nets to follow Jesus. Think about Matthew. He's a tax collector. He's probably making well above the normal income. He was doing fine. And he leaves his profession, he leaves his table to follow Jesus. These disciples, they've been through difficult times with Jesus. They've seen great things. And now is a moment where Jesus says, "Do you want to leave me too?" And I think that these disciples, they didn't know what they were in for. Because if we fast forward to the book of Acts, if we fast forward to after Jesus is dead, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, the church has begun, the disciples are there, they're sharing the good news, filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what ends up happening to these disciples? All of them, except for one, die, are killed, are martyred for their faith. John is exiled to an island all by himself. Peter hung upside down. They all meet difficult ends. I wonder if they would have known that here when Jesus is saying, "Do you still want to follow me?" I wonder if they would have said, "Yeah, that sounds great." The really cool thing is that God has a lot of grace and he grows us. The really cool thing is that, spiritually speaking, we shouldn't look the same today as we did 5 years from now. Because 5 years in the past, 5 years ago, if anybody said, "Josh, this is what you're going to go through." If anybody said, "Josh, this is what the next few years will look like." If anybody said, "You know what, and then eventually you'll end up in Wapaka." I don't know if I would have signed up for that. But thanks be to God that he is wiser than me. Thanks be to God that he grows us. Thanks be to God that he takes us and he works with us moment by moment. And he has a greater plan. And so Jesus, when he says, "Do you still want to follow me?" Peter, he answers with a good and simple and an answer that I think each and every single one of us need to replicate. Simon Peter answered him, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? What else are we going to do? I have to follow you." And brothers and sisters, that's, I think, what our attitude must be as well. What else can I do but follow my Savior? I don't know what the future may bring. It could have great, great things. It may have horrible, horrible things. Come what may, I'm following my Lord. Peter says, "Where else will we go? We've given up everything. You have the words of eternal life." And that is why Jesus is worth following. Because he is eternal life. Because he has the words of eternal life. That is why Jesus is worth following. Not because he'll make your bank account increase. Not because he'll give you a lot of influence over people. Not because you'll have lots of friends. Not because your marriage will be incredible. Not because your relationships with people will be awesome. No. A lot of those things could happen and they're good. But we follow Jesus because he is life. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that question. Do you follow God? Do you love God? Are you thanking God for the things he does for you or for who he is? Peter doesn't say, "Where else will we go? We follow you because you feed us." That would be a youth group thing, right? Peter doesn't say, "No, we follow you because you perform these incredible miracles." No, he says, "We follow you because there's something about you that is pretty miraculous. Because you are God. Because you have eternal life." And this is the same Peter who put his foot in his mouth a lot. This is the same Peter that not too far after this actually tries again to rebuke Jesus. This is the same Peter that grabbed his sword and cut off an ear. This is rash Peter. This is Peter that doesn't quite know anything. This is Peter in the Gospels. Peter in the book of Acts, he's great. He's full of the Spirit. He's bold. He's awesome. He's wise. Peter in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whoo, not so awesome. But he got this right. He says, we're following you because we know that you can give us life. That's why we got to follow Jesus. Nothing else can or will ever satisfy. You can try it. Many of us, I'm sure all of us, have tried other things, have tried to be satisfied by other stuff in life. And all of us who have tried it, we could heartily say amen to the statement of it all fails, right? Nothing else will satisfy but Jesus, because he is eternal life. Then later on in chapter 7, on the last day of the feast, verse 37, on the last day of the feast, the great day, the last day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. Whoever comes to me, let him drink. As I read that, I won't go to the Old Testament reference that Jesus makes. I'll just simply say, if you're drinking of Jesus, then your actions, your words, your thoughts, they ought to be a reflection of that. Come to me, all who thirst. Great. Here's the thing. You can't drink of Jesus. You can't eat of Jesus. You can't have this relationship with Jesus and not be impacted. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll quench your thirst. I'll make you filled spiritually. You can't get to that spot where you're saying, yes, more of Jesus. And then you leave here and you act the same. It's not possible. It's not possible. As believers in Jesus Christ, we ought, we have to act like it. Because he has eternal life. He is eternal life. And so if we have a relationship with Jesus, that means we have eternal life. So we got to act like it. And this is one of the moments where I almost feel like I'm preaching to the choir, right? I'm looking around, I'm like, awesome saint, yep, living their lives. Oh man, a lot better than I am, you know? I'm looking around, I'm seeing brothers and sisters in Christ. But here's the cool thing, we all can do better. We all ought to do better. God is calling us to a deeper relationship with him. He's calling us to a deeper dependence on him. He's calling us to trust him and to obey him more and more each day. None of us have arrived. None of us are at that point where we can say, well, that one, they got it all together. Don't say that about anybody. Because once you say that about somebody, you'll realize really quickly, they don't got it all together. We don't put anybody on a pedestal but Jesus. We need to trust in him. We need to follow him. Our words, our actions, our thoughts, they got to be a reflection of the eternal life Savior that we have. And friends, I'm saying that impacts every area of your life. You get that, right? That's not just nodding along in church. That means when you go home and you're really, really tired, and the kid comes up and kicks you for no reason, you need to remember, you know what? I got to be patient. I can't lash out in anger. When you're at work and your boss yells and screams at you, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, I'm justified in yelling and screaming at them to be right back? And you say, how would Jesus respond to this? How can I glorify my Lord? When you're talking to somebody about politics, how are you talking? Is there malice coming out of your mouth? Are you responding with love and kindness? Even when love and kindness is not coming your way, when you're walking around town and you bump into somebody, when I go to pick and save or Aldi, I almost always run into somebody I know. Love being in a small town. I do. I really do. I don't say that sarcastically. So when you bump into me, will I be happy to see you? Will I be proud at what you're doing? Because here's the cool thing. I think that, man, when I bump into somebody from my church, will they say, ah, that's my pastor? Or will they say, oh, well, I kind of go to that church sometimes. That's the neat thing about a community, right? That's the neat thing about a family. We're there to keep each other accountable. We're there to spur one another on in righteousness. We're there not to shame, not to wag our finger and say, tut, tut. No, we're there to say, hey, brother, you can do better. So can I. Can you help me? Hey, sister, what do you need help with today? How can I pray for you? Folks, what we just witnessed up here with this precious family, that's a picture of what we are. Let's lift each other up. Let's remind each other that Jesus has eternal life. And so if we are following Jesus and his eternal life, then boy, we got to be the most rocking people ever. Our lives got to exude his life. Our actions, our words, they got to be a reflection of him. If we're going to Jesus because he is that living water, then man, abundantly it's got to flow out of us. Amen? Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your life. Lord, we thank you that you are worth following. We thank you, Lord, that you and you alone satisfy. Lord, would you help us each and every single day? Because we cannot do it on our own. But we know that you've created us for good works, not by good works, but for good works. So would you help us to walk in them? Would you help us to live a life that is worthy of you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.